this morning. It's 1 Samuel chapter 22, and we're going to be preaching a thought this morning out of the life of David. And I think it's something that can apply to all of us and that we can draw some help from. So we're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter number 22 to start off this morning. And we're also going to be taking a little bit, we'll be taking a look at the book of 2 Samuel chapter 23. So you can wait to turn there. You can go ahead and grab it in your Bible. But that's the two places we're going to be looking at this morning. So 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse number 1 is where we're going to be reading, and just read the first two verses, and then we'll start getting into the message this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse number 1. Now for context here, what's going on in the life of David is he is on the run from King Saul, who has a desire to kill him. And so that's literally where he's at. He's on the run for his life from King Saul. For context, in verse number 1, it says, David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. Let's pray this morning. Father, I want to thank you for your mercy and your grace, Lord. Thank you for what you've done for us. Lord, we started off this morning singing about to God be the glory, great things he hath done. And Miss Terry ended it by singing all the way that my Savior leads me. And Brother Vernon playing about be still my soul. Lord, we just thank you for these great songs of Zion. And God, I pray in this next few minutes that you would open our hearts, our ears, and our minds. And that you'd speak to each heart, feel the need, and that you might get the glory from it. And even so come, Lord Jesus, in your precious name, I pray these things. Amen. So I want to preach to you this morning. I guess if you would put a title on this message, it would be Consider the Cave. Consider the Cave. And that's where David finds himself here, is in the cave at Adullam. Now, this was a difficult place for him to be in. But you know, in the life of David, and we're going to talk about what makes this place different here in just a minute. But he's in a difficult place here. Where his very best friend in the world, Jonathan, his daddy, the king of Israel, is in a place where he hates him, and he's literally on the run for his life from the king of Israel. And so he finds himself in a difficult place here when he gets to the cave at Adullam. But let me say this about David. This was not the first time that he had found himself in a hard place. Amen. My mind goes all the way back to when he was a teenage boy, starting in chapter number 16 through there, where he was watching his father's Jesse's sheep there. And the Bible says that a lion and a bear came. And I guess by hand, he actually defeated and killed both a lion and a bear. That's a pretty impressive feat right there. Amen. I have no desire, whether it had the power of God on my life or not, I don't have that much power on my life to face a lion and a bear with my bare hands. But this was a difficult place that David found himself in, and thank God he was able to defeat that lion and defeat that bear. Amen. But let me say this about that difficult place. Those were the perils of being a shepherd in that day. I mean, I guess anybody who agreed to be a shepherd understood the dangers that came with that job. You know, sheep are something that are easy targets for wild animals. And so you're going to have to bear in mind that there may be some day in the life of a shepherd where a lion and a bear were going to show up because sheep are on their menu. And so I don't know how surprising it was, but I don't think it was too surprising for that to happen. Now, it's not something that I would want to happen or ever dream would happen, but those are the perils of being a shepherd. Amen. And let me just say, in the life of being a sheep, that the devil still has his desire to get the sheep. Amen. He is a roaring lion who walketh about seeking whom he may devour. But in the life of David, this first situation that he found himself in was no surprise for me and you as we read the Bible. This was a position that shepherds often found themselves in, whether it be wolves or whether it be lions or whether it be bears. Now, I will say, I don't ever want to live in a place where there's wolves, lions, and bears. Now, we got enough, amen, dangerous things down here in Alabama. The most dangerous and the most god-awful things we have 8 legs and they hide in the corners of your house. I'd rather face a lion and a bear than a spider. Amen. Spiders are from the pits of hell, amen. And you can't convince me otherwise. If you got a pet tarantula, you need prayer.
Amen. You probably need to be saved. Amen. If you've got a pet tarantula, that's not normal. That's not natural affection. But, amen, we've been talking about on Wednesday nights about the disciplines of God. And you know, oftentimes when God is disciplining us, we'll find ourselves in difficult situations. And in this case, in David's life, this was a difficult situation, but it's part of life. Let me just say this about this part of our lives, is there are going to be some things that come along your way that you should not be surprised by. Amen. The Bible talks about, Jesus said, in the world you shall have tribulation. And this is a biblical promise. You're just going to have problems. You're going to have trouble. It's part of being in this world. It's part of living in a body of flesh. And to think that we'll never have problems is something that is just an unrealistic expectation. And so I don't think David was too surprised by this. I hope you get what I'm trying to say. He wasn't too surprised by the lion and the bear. Another hardship that David found himself in, and really the whole nation of Israel found themselves in, was there on the battlefield. And this is a very familiar story in 1 Samuel chapter number 17. And, you know, Israel's on the hillside and the Philistines are in the valley down there. And they are sending out their champion by the name of Goliath. And he's literally mocking the armies of God and mocking God himself. And what you find there is a bunch of mighty men of battle who are too scared to go and face that battle. And we know what happened. David was sent to the battlefield to take food to his brothers. And he looked and he saw the situation. And he looked at all these mighty men of Israel. And he looked down there at Goliath mocking his God. And he looked at him and he said, "Is there not a cause?" And I like to pause there every time I quote that verse and say, yes, there is a cause. But David there found himself as a teenage boy. The Bible says he was ruddy. He was nothing much to look at, but he found himself in the middle of the biggest battlefield going on at the time, standing before a 10-foot giant with no armor on and a sling on his side and 5 smooth stones, and that's all he had to face this giant with was those things there. We know the story, amen. We know that it took one stone, and he slung that stone, and the Bible says that it hit Goliath in between his eyeballs, so much so that it sunk into his forehead. Y'all remember that story I'm talking about? I don't know. I've never seen a real giant. Amen. I've seen a few that come close. There's one. Brother Josh is about the closest I've come to meeting a giant in my life. And I don't want to fight him. Amen. But here we have David in this situation. But you know, he knew what he was getting himself into with that. You understand what I'm saying? This was not even his battle in the first place. He volunteered for that battle. Hey, listen, thank God for people who volunteer for the battle, by the way. I'm thankful for people in my life and in life in general, people in this building this morning who see the battles of life and volunteer to fight for the Lord. Now, in this case, David, that's exactly what he was doing. He was volunteering to fight. I don't think he was fighting on Israel's behalf at all. I think he was fighting completely on God's behalf. Amen. He went out on that battlefield and he said, "Listen, you're not going to curse my God like that." And he slung that stone, and there's one of the greatest tests and battles that David was ever a part of, but then also one of the greatest victories, amen. Thank God he went from a shepherd boy to a giant slayer, amen. And as he stood on top of Goliath that day, the Bible says that he took Goliath's own sword. I don't know how big that sword was, but if it was a 10-foot tall guy's sword, it had to be a big sword. And he stood on top of him, and the Bible says that he cut his head off. And he put his head in a charger, and buddy, he paraded that thing around, and he proved his victory. It was a great day. Amen. Thank God for the day where giants get slain in our lives. Amen. We all face giants, by the way. I hope you see the spiritual connotation here. Amen. The lion and the bear picture the normal parts of life that are a struggle on a daily basis. You're going to have lions and bears all the time. It's part of being a sheep. You're going to have to face these. You're going to have to face family problems. You're going to have to fight off bitterness. You're going to have to fight off anger. But there's going to be some times in your life where you face sure enough giants. You ever faced a giant before? Amen. And I don't know what that might be in your life. But there's going to be spiritual battles that you have to volunteer for. Now, I will say that there are giants in people's lives that they should be facing that they're not facing. I guess that David could have said, "Listen, boys, it looks like y'all got this. I'm going back to the field." There was a giant that David needed to defeat, but he could have chosen not to, as far as I can tell. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of God's people who have a giant standing in the battlefield of their lives. It's been standing there for years, and they will not face that giant. Maybe somebody's like that in here this morning. And I don't know what that might be. A lot of the time in adults' lives is marriage problems. All the classic things. But if there's a giant in your life, let me encourage you with this. Put your faith in God and face that thing. Because you're never going to, listen, Israel was never going to have any victory until that giant hit the dirt. And so there's a lot of Christians today who are trying to ignore the battle, amen, and ignore the giant that's standing right there in their way, and they wonder why they have no victory, no peace, and no joy, amen, and why God is not using them, and why God is not getting the glory. Because there are some battles this morning that you've got to volunteer for. You understand? There may be some giants that the Lord lets say in your life, so you choose you're going to face that thing. You get what I'm saying? So here are two big instances in the life of David. One is just everyday problems. That's what the lion and the bear represent. One is a big problem, whether it be spiritual, physical, whatever. There's giants coming, and there's giants you're going to have to face in your daily and your Christian life. Amen. But then, this is what I want to focus on this morning. Then a difficulty came up that I don't think David was expecting. Amen. I mean, he's fought the lion and the bear. He gains Israel a great victory over the Philistines in this battle. Amen. And if I'm David, I'm thinking Saul should have been pretty happy with me. I mean, I just won our whole country a battle out here. But that's not what happened. We're not going to read all the verses. But if you're familiar with your Bible at all, a battle came up in David's life that he did not expect. And that was for his king, King Saul. A man whose son, Jonathan, was David's very best friend in the world. The Bible says that he loved him so much that it far surpassed his love for women. Now, a lot of people try to take that verse and pervert it about David, and it's not the case. He just loved Jonathan, and this was his dad. This was the king of Israel. This is somebody who should have been rejoicing over what David had accomplished on the battlefield. But Saul took that opportunity on David's great victory. By the way, it wasn't just David's victory. It was his victory, too. You know, because of what David did, Saul got the victory as king. Man, I would be pretty thankful for that guy. But that's not what happened. Amen. You know what happened? Saul became so enraged with jealousy that he literally went on a mission to try and have David killed at every turn that he could. I'll tell you, this was a battle, this was a problem and a situation that David was not expecting to face. And you know what the problems, the biggest problems and the most hurtful problems that we face in our lives are? The ones that we're blindsided by. The one that we did not see coming, amen? You ever faced any of those? Amen? You ever faced it with people? You ever been in a situation that you were not expecting to happen? Amen? This is where David found himself in. And at this point in chapter number 22, verse number 1, he's in this unexpected battle, this unexpected situation where he's literally fleeing for his life, and he comes to a cave. Amen. He comes to a cave, and I'll tell you, this was a very big moment in the life of David. And if you know anything about the Bible at all and the significance of the cave of Adullam, we're going to look at it here in just a minute. But you know, this was a battle that David was having to face, but this was going to be different than any battle he'd ever faced. There wasn't a lion and a bear. You get what I'm saying? There wasn't an enemy of the Philistines. That was an expected enemy. But this was an enemy from somebody he was not expecting. This was a blindside battle. And David actually found himself in a place, you know, y'all know the story where David, Saul's hunting for David, and David had the opportunity to kill him. And he goes down and he cuts off a piece of his garment. And then he has to repent over that because he was stretching out his hand against the Lord's anointed. But this was also a man who was trying to kill him. You see the situation he was in? This is a hard situation. And let me say this about some situations you're going to face in life. There are going to be times where it seems very difficult to know what the right thing to do is. And that's what this battle represents. And he ends up in this cave, and I'm telling you, when David is in the cave of Adullam, and you find yourself in these situations, there are some things to learn, amen, and there are some gleanings to get from this point in David's life. Let me say this, first of all, about this cave. This cave represented a place of disappointment. Amen. I imagine as David fled to this cave, he was there by himself, he had to be pretty disappointed in what was taking place. I mean, his best friend's dad, the king of Israel, was now in a place where he's trying to kill him after a great victory, amen, after God did something great. Let me tell you this about victories. With victories come times of trials and times of temptations. Every victory comes with a time of trial. And David is there alone, and I'm sure he had to be disappointed. You ever been disappointed, amen? Yes, you have. Amen. There are disappointing times coming. And there's going to be times where you're sitting there by yourself in this cave, if you will. And that is the cave of disappointment. Let me say this next of all. This was also a cave of desertion. A cave of desertion. David was left by himself. Now, the chapter before this, you know the story where Jonathan is going to fire those arrows. And I'm trying not to read all these verses to save some time. I'm just hoping y'all are kind of tracking what the Bible says there. And Jonathan is trying to warn David about whether or not his dad was going to spare his life or not. And he said, if I shoot the arrows on this left side of this boy, and he goes and retrieves my arrows, then you know that your life is not in danger. But if I shoot beyond the boy and he cannot fetch the arrows, you know that my dad's going to kill you. And you need to get out of here. Well, we know the story. We know the warning was that David's life was in fact in danger, and that Jonathan and David were going to have to break fellowship because David was in danger for his life. And that wound up, and David ended up by himself without his best friend. I'm trying to say that it was a place of desertion. It was a place of loneliness. It was a place that nobody understood except for David himself. You ever found yourself there? Amen. Alone. You ever face a problem that it seems like nobody else understands and nobody else sees? I'll tell you, some of these places are lonely places. A blindside battle, amen. It was also a place of desperation. You see, I've never had anybody literally trying to kill me. Thank God. Now, when you get out on the road, it seems like people are trying to kill you, man. But thank God I've never had the mafia on my trail. You know what I'm saying? But I know this, if I did, that would be a desperate situation. And he went to this cave in desperation. And I tell you, man, this in the Christian life, sometimes it's a good thing to get in a place of desperation. I mean, you ever been in a place where you are that desperate for God? You ever been in a place where you felt like you needed God more than you needed your last breath? Amen. I heard a story years ago of a young preacher. He had a desire to have a touch of God on his life, and he went to the older preacher and he said, I want you to tell me the secret to having God's touch on my life and God's presence. He said, okay, I'll give you a lesson. Meet me down by the river. So they went down by the river. They waded about waist deep into the river, and he said, all right, I'm going to show you what it takes to get God's touch and get God's Holy Spirit on your life. And he took him and he put his head under the water and he held him there for about a minute or two till the guy started flailing to the point where he couldn't hold him underneath anymore. And he came up and he said, man, why did you do that? And he said, well, when you get to the place where you need God more than you need your next breath, that's when you'll see God do something. You see, I believe in a lot of Christians' lives, and listen, I hope it never comes to this with your situation or your circumstances, but I'm telling you, we need to get desperate for God. You want to see God do something, man. We want to see God move. I want to see God save my family. I want to see God move in a mighty way. You got to be desperate for that. Desperate. Not only that, but let me say this last of all. This is the introduction, then we'll get a few short points. Some things we can learn from this cave. Not only was it a place of disappointment and a place of desertion, this was a place of desperation, but I'll say this also, it was a place of decision. A place of decision. And listen, I've seen God's people. I've seen Christians get into such a place, and you may wind up in this place yourself, where you have a decision to make about whether or not you're going to live for God, whether or not you're going to carry on. Amen. And David was in this place, in this cave. He had a decision to make. And I tell you, I believe a lot of Christians are in this place. A decision. Am I going to trust God? Am I going to put my faith in Him? Am I going to get serious about what God is trying to do in my life? So now for the next few minutes, I want to look at a few things from these passages of Scripture about some things that David found in the cave. Some things that David found in this cave. First of all, look at verse number 3.
The Bible says, "And David went thence to Mizpah of Moab, and he said unto the king of Moab, Let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with you." Notice what he says here, "Till I know what God will do for me." I'd like to say, first of all, about this passage of Scripture, something that you and I can learn from this, is being in a place where we learn to cast our care on Him. Amen. I don't know about you, but I like what David said here. He said, listen, I'm waiting to see what God will do for me. I'm learning to cast my care on Him. And let me say this, Christian, wherever you find yourself at this morning, cast your care upon Him. You can't cast your care upon a job, even upon your own family sometimes. There's going to be times where the only thing you can do is cast your care upon Him. And let me just say, put your expectation in God and have faith in what God will do for you. Amen. Let me just say this. God is still able. God is still able to deliver. God is still able to give victory. Amen. And you need to get to a place in your life where you learn to put your faith in God and to cast all of your care upon Him. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7 says, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." And in this dark place, amen, in this place of disappointment, desertion, and decision, David had to reach a point where he said, you know what? I'm going to look for what God will do for me. Amen. And I'll tell you this, as your pastor, amen, but as your friend and as a fellow Christian who's in the same struggles that everybody else is in, I need to see what God will do. I don't know about you. I'm tired of seeing what man can do. Amen. What man can do never leads anywhere good. I want to see what God can do. And you know, David will go on to see God win great victories for him. But it started in a place of, listen, we're just going to wait here and see what God's going to do. And that's easy preaching, but that's not easy living. Amen. Because I don't know about you, when I try to figure out everything I can do about anything I'm faced with. But how about sometimes just sitting back and saying, God, I want to let you win my battles. Let's see what God will do. Amen, glory, land. Let's see what God's going to do. This was a place of casting His care. Let me tell you, the best thing you can do with your life is cast your care upon Him. Second of all, not only is it a place where he learned to cast his care, I'll say this next, it's a place where he found some company. Look at verse number 1 of chapter number 22 again. The Bible says, "David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him." And buddy, I'm thankful for that one right there. Aren't you thankful that in the dark places of your life, and listen, when you're blindsided by a battle that you were not expecting, I'm thankful this morning that in those times of my life, I have found some company. Aren't you thankful for the times where it didn't seem like anybody else cared, amen, and it didn't seem like anybody else knew that God sent somebody to let you know that there is, in fact, some good company in this life? Amen. And I'll tell you what a church should be. A church should be this situation right here. When somebody's in a cave, amen, somebody go down to where they are, put an arm around their shoulder, let them know that you love them, let them know that you're praying for them, amen, and bring them back, amen. I'm talking about sometimes when you're in a cave, you need some company. And God knows that this is what a church should be. Church should never be a place where judgment is cast down on those around you, amen, or to look down your nose, but it should be a place where we find some company. Amen. I'm telling you, David was in a place of desperation. He was in a struggle, amen. And I'm telling you, all of us end up in this place, and we need to know that there is somebody by our side. Amen. You know what a blessing it is? Listen, I've always said, if you wind up in a place where you're having to serve God by yourself, then you should be willing to do that. Amen. I think you should be. But I don't think God's will is that, you know, it started off in Genesis chapter number 1 when he saw Adam there. He said, it's not good for man to be alone. And something that bothers me that Christians do is when the problems come up, they try to face those problems alone. That's why God gave us each other. Amen. That's why you come to church. Not to hide in a corner somewhere and complain about everything, but to find some help from people.
And it may not always come. That's why, man, that's why the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. It may not always be through the sermon preached, but it might be through a conversation in the hallway that God sends you some company and lets you know that He cares about you. Amen. Me and Brother Kevin were talking about yesterday, church is not supposed to be a high and a by place. You say, high and by, and that's all you get. Amen. You get what I'm saying? It's a place to get some help. It's a place where you encounter people who are facing problems just like you are. And we're going to worship together and we're going to lean on each other because we need some company in our caves. Amen. Some folks at church, they're like Scooby-Doo. Y'all ever watch Scooby-Doo when you was a kid? He would get out of there so fast that it would be a smoke figure of him standing there, but he wasn't even there. That's how fast he gets out of there. That's how some church folks are. Man, you say amen, and there's a form of smoke right there in that pew, but there's nobody there. It looks like them, but it's not them. They're gone. Amen. Don't do that. Show up to church. Amen. Show up to church with the goal of finding somebody you can help. And if we all showed up with that attitude, I guarantee you right now, we'd get the help we're looking for. Amen. It was a place, and this kind of leads me to my next point. It was a place where he found company. Let me say this next of all. Look at verse number 2. I'm talking about a dark cave. You can learn some things by being in a cave. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, man, what a crowd. Don't that sound like a crowd of winners to you? I mean, here's all these people who are in debt up to their eyeballs. They're discontent with their life. They're in distress. I don't know about you. That sounds like me. What a great group of people. What did they do? They gathered themselves unto Him. Man, it's one thing to be in there by yourself in a cave, and next thing you know, all these people are coming to you with their problems. What a great day. Amen. You're down there in the mully grubs, and here comes somebody else. Just a pile on, man. Y'all with me? Man, there's been times where I come to church and I got my own problems, and then you ask the wrong question. How you doing, brother? Sometimes that's the wrong question to ask, because you're going to find out exactly how they're doing. I just preached about having company. I don't need to go back on my word. But you know what? David found himself in a place, and I think God does this on purpose. And this is something we need to get through our skulls. There are no higher planes in Christianity. There are no tiers, and there are no upper echelons in Christian circles. I'll tell you, it may have been easy for David when all these people come to him and say, Don't y'all know that I killed Goliath? Don't you know who I am? Don't you know that I'm God's anointed king? What are y'all coming to me with all these problems for? No, I think God was trying to show David that you're just like these people. These are your people. Right here. And that's our people too. Buddy, we're just all peoples. And church is a place where people are dealing with the struggles of life. And you know what he did with these people? He showed David that he had some company. But then he also made David their captain. Look at what it says. It says, and he became a captain over them. God took David's dark cave. He gave him some company. And then he sent him some people that David was supposed to help and become their captain. And listen, if I was planning a battle strategy, these people are probably not the people I would pick to go fight the battle with, just to be honest with you. Amen. I'd be looking for somebody with some golden armor, ready to fight, amen, but that's not who God sent David to be a captain over. He sent him a bunch of misfits and a bunch of ragtag people who had a bunch of problems. And he made David captain over those people. Hey, listen, maybe there's somebody like this that God has sent into your life to be a captain over. Amen. You get what I'm saying?
And I think this is maybe where Christianity is struggling the most, is we view it as church as a place where we go to get the help we need. And thank God it is. But that's not all it is. God may be trying to give you somebody to be a captain over. Has God put anybody in your life to try and help? You see, this is the Christian life. This is what builds churches, is when individuals that are part of that church find somebody to be a captain over, somebody to help, somebody to encourage, somebody to let know that you love them and you care about them. Does that make any sense to y'all? This is who God made David a captain over. Somebody to help, somebody to sympathize with. Last of all, let's go to 2 Samuel. I mean, I hope this is helping y'all this morning. 2 Samuel chapter number 23. I'm talking about if David so chose, he could have let this cave become a place where he sank in the mully grubs and felt sorry for himself. Amen. And he could have rightfully done that. But he didn't. He found some company. He casted his care upon the Lord. God gave him some people to be a captain over. And then we're going to see him in the cave of Adullam again in 2 Samuel chapter number 23. Now, for context sake here, we're going to skip over some stuff, some preceding verses, but Israel is in the middle of a battle. That's where they're at. This is where we're that's where you find yourself at most of the time, is in the middle of a battle. And in verse number 13, the Bible says, "And three of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time," notice where he was at, "unto the cave of Adullam. And the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in an hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem." Look at verse number 15. It says, "And David longed and said, Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." The last thing that I see that David found in the cave of Adullam. Now, this is a place of desertion. It's a place of distress. It's a place of disappointment. Amen. It's a place of problems and heartache. He found some company there. He found that he had cast his care on God. He found somebody that God would let him be a captain over. But I like this one right here. Something David found in the dark cave is he found a craving. He found a craving. You say, what was it for? Amen. They were right. The Bible says that the Philistines were encamped in Bethlehem. And David said, "Oh, that I could have a drink from the well that's in Bethlehem." You know what he did? He craved a drink from the well. Now, this is significant that this is the well of Bethlehem, because this is the city of David. This is where he was born. This was his hometown. And in the middle of that battle, when he was tired and weary and worn out from the battle, he knew the one thing that would give him strength was that if he could get a drink from the well, that was from his hometown. In other words, a little bit of a taste from home. That would help him in the battle. And he developed a craving to get a drink from that well. And I'm here to tell you, sometimes when you find yourself in the cave of Adullam, amen, and in the middle of a battle, it's good to develop a craving to get a drink from the well that is a taste of home. And I'm trying to say this morning, and I would consider what we have here at our church, this is supposed to be a well. And sometimes we need to come here and draw from that well and get us a little bit of a taste from home. I mean, let me just say this. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. And in this world that we live in this place that we're passing through, it's easy to get weary. It's easy to get worn out from the battle and discouraged on the battlefield. And you need a place to go to get a drink from the well that is your home place. Amen. Miss Terry started singing about "All the Way My Savior Leads Me," and I don't know about you, but even playing on the piano over there, God gave me a little bit of a drink from home, amen, a little bit of taste of what it's going to be like to be around that well up there. And I'm telling you, that's what's going to help you get through the battles of life and get through the hardships that you'll face, is tasting a taste from the well of Bethlehem. Amen. You say, what do you need? I'll tell you what we all need. We need a craving. Amen. When's the last time you craved something from God? When's the last time you were in such a place where you said, "Oh, that I had a drink"? Amen. That's where David got to. He was weary from the battle, and he knew the only thing that was going to help him right then was to drink from the well. I think about John chapter number 4. The Bible says that the Samaritan woman came through there, and Jesus was waiting on the well. You know, she was looking for a drink. And I tell you, there's many times in my life where I am just looking for a drink. You ever been there? Amen. You ever come to church, man, just looking for something, looking for God to fill the need, looking for God to do something in my life? Why don't you drink from the well? Amen. I think about this, and I think about being weary in the battle, and I think about people who've gone on before us. Amen. Some great, we all know, everybody here knows great Christians that we respect and admire. And you know, they've gone on to be with the Lord, and they've entered into their rest. And you know what they're doing this morning? They're all gathered around the well. Gathered around the well of Bethlehem. You say, who is that? I'll tell you who the well is. The well is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Amen. And a lot of the reason that Christians today stay in the cave and have no joy and no peace is they're drinking from every other well. The well of society, the well of this world, the well of, I don't care what you want to name. But you know what you need to do? You need to drink from His well. It's the only well that will satisfy. It's the only well that will change and help your life and change your family. Is that well? And so that's just a little simple thought that the Lord gave me this week about the well of Bethlehem. You know, there are dark caves coming. But thank God there's some things we can learn from the cave. Learn to cast your care on Him. Find you some good company. Pray that God would give you somebody to be a captain over to help. And then get a craving for that well. Amen. Maybe somebody's here. Miss Terry, you want to come this morning? Well, I'll give an invitation. I don't know. Maybe somebody came to church this morning and you need a drink from the well. I'm here to tell you, Jesus is that well, and Jesus can help you, and Jesus can change your life. But you got to have a craving for it. You got to want it. You got to be in a place of desperation. You got to understand that you need some help. Amen. Amen. If you find yourself there, I'm going to have you bow your heads this morning. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I'm going to have Miss Terry play a song of invitation. If the Lord spoke to your heart, I would invite you to come to the altar and pray about it. Amen. Find you a place to get a drink from that well. Amen.